I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Amazing FBA. I'm here today with Jenna Lieber of Turnkey Product Management, help brands grow on and off Amazon. We've dealt with the COVID thing. We've talked about some of the details of on Amazon management in the previous episodes, so do check those out. But today we're going to talk about brand building in the broader sense, on and off Amazon. So Jenna, first of all, welcome back to the show. Good to have you back.
Thank you for having me back.
And coming to us from Orange County, I understand, just around the corner from the original Disneyland.
Yes, around the corner, right down the street.
Amazing. I didn't even know there was one. So Disney's a very famous brand. So let's start with that. I mean, brand building is such a huge topic. Where do you even begin this with clients?
It's crazy. So what's interesting is we come into the picture with brands in different aspects of their life. So we have brands that they're huge off of Amazon, but they are coming onto Amazon just to broaden their portfolio. We have some brands that are huge on Amazon, but just need to get that kickstart and flow onto different platforms as well. So it is really interesting. Like, where do we start with clients? It's so specific to where they're actually at in their business. But one thing is always consistent with us is don't be solely reliant on any platform at all and be focused on growing that brand, not just focused on it being successful on Amazon. You want to be broadening your brand is the idea.
There's clearly so much to worry about if you're just on one platform, but I think everyone's assumed that there was one primary risk on Amazon, which is getting an account shut down, whether it's because of defect rates or allegations of review manipulation or what have you. But the truth is that actually even the mighty Amazon was overwhelmed during the COVID crisis, first by the demand side, which is epically large, which is a quality problem to have, but is a problem. And secondly, by the supply side, first of all, from China, and then obviously at various points during their warehouses. And I don't see those being, in either case, if we do have a secondary wave of infection, or even if Q4 is bigger than ever, that those could still be issues, right? So I think you're quite right to, in the end, you've got to diversify, particularly when you've got something worth protecting. So let's talk about the brand building on Amazon first, because obviously that's where, I guess, most of us as Amazon focused sellers naturally think of. What are the main sort of pillars of doing that?
Right. So I think one thing for sure, and to me, it actually starts with the foundation. It starts with the listing, right? A lot of people throw up a listing, don't even care about it, when the reality is that is how you're presenting yourself to your customer. You get one shot on Amazon, right? That is the reality. So if you are primarily on Amazon, your listing has to represent your brand. It has to make sure that they connect with each other. And that's not just the listing. So it's obviously the images on the listing, the sales copy on the listing, but it's also that A+ content, right? That should reflect your brand. You should also have your storefront filled out and making sure that's top notch. It has videos, it's interactive, it draws people in. You want to make sure the storefront's really strong. You want to make sure your ads are portraying yourself correctly. So the on Amazon stuff, to a lot of people, it's, oh, it's just Amazon. I don't have to put that effort in. Customers are already there. You do have to put that effort in. You need to beat out your competitors. And a lot of that is building that brand, right? Because another thing, us that sell on Amazon, we understand that all of these listings are different companies, they're different brands. People that regular customers aren't thinking like that, right? So that's why you have to make that statement. Say, I am this brand, this is us. And what's great about that is if you build up that brand recognition, you build that up, you're going to have a customer for life is the idea. So to me, building a brand on Amazon, it starts with your listing and making sure you're putting your best foot forward in all aspects of Amazon and putting your branding everywhere.
And I guess it's true that if you're very, very focused on Amazon, is obviously if you run a podcast about it and you sell on it, you tend to assume that everyone's got the basics down at this stage, but you're quite right, people often don't. And I think, again, it comes down to the throw anything up ever anywhere is probably the phrase that springs to mind. Is like, it's a slapdash process. And you were talking in a previous episode about having a process and having a thought through process and Asana recurring tasks and stuff. And I think having an Asana task you can copy, or a Google Sheet you can copy, or however Basecamp works. I haven't used that for years, but I have come across that. Whatever the mechanics are, having a standardized checklist in the end that you are rigorous about is going to be helpful, right? The interesting thing that strikes me about this, the stuff that you've put your finger on there, let's dig into this a bit. The people who shop on Amazon don't really think about brands being on Amazon. They're not really thinking about third-party sellers. That's only a thing for third-party sellers to obsess about. They're just buying stuff on Amazon, right? So how do we really actually start to build a brand on Amazon where people see it as a strong separate identity if it didn't exist already as a strong separate identity?
Honestly, again, I think it does start with the listing. I think making sure you have consistency across the listing, all of your products too, is another thing, right? You want to make sure all of the products have the same branding, the same consistency. You want to put, to me, like investing in strong images, strong infographics, things like that is super important for that branding. You want that consistency across your storefront. You want to put your best foot forward always. So that's a really great starting point. I also think investing in PPC is a really great start as well, because obviously, as you guys know, when you're investing in PPC, you are going to show up at the top results on when they're searching that given term. So that's going to get you brand recognition as well. So just really super important to invest in Amazon, put that time and effort into it. And just like we're saying, don't slap anything up there because that's not going to be beneficial for your brand. And that separates you as well.
I guess it comes down to consistency and structure, a lot of this stuff, right? But it's important just because Amazon makes it almost too easy to do stuff. We forget those, because still make some big efforts. So what are the underused tools for brand building on Amazon? I'll stick with the on Amazon bit for a second. Great listings, good storefronts. What about sponsored brand ads or other tools that I'm not aware of or thinking about?
So I would say some underused tools would probably be things like sponsored brand ads, just because they are always expanding that. So if you're not checking up on that, trying to find new sponsored brands, you most likely are missing out on new opportunities. So I talked about it a little bit on the last episode where Custom Image is a new beta program that people are talking about. There's video ads. So just staying up to date on those PPC sponsored brand ads is really important. And just other opportunities is A+ content. They're always coming up with new opportunities. So as I'm sure you guys are aware, like they have backend search terms within those images that you can take advantage of to index for. You can also cross-sell your products. There's a cross-sell module you can offer. So at the end of the day, I don't think these are things people are underutilizing, but rather not using to the full potential is an issue I see. So again, it's just keeping up with it, checking in on it, right? So don't just set up a storefront and be done with it. Check your storefront insights, right? Make sure it's converting. If it's not converting, we need to split test it. We need to try things out, right? Try out new opportunities that storefront is offering. And again, it's keeping up with what's going on and making sure you have an outlet that is always producing content about what's going on Amazon.
Excellent. So I guess it ties back in with what you're saying about some of the tactical type stuff when you're managing Amazon. But I guess the A+ content, for example, I wasn't aware that you could embed search terms in that way. So that's something that I need to, I'm feeling guiltily that I'm being quite slack and not taking advantage of a lot of the new stuff. So this is a useful conversation. So let's talk about the off Amazon thing then, because obviously that's just like a universe of possibilities. Again, how do you even begin to approach this? What are the first steps to doing this?
So I think you actually kind of touched on it a little bit there. You mentioned there's so much you can be doing. And I think that's actually why people don't do stuff. They're like, there's so much to do. But the reality is you should almost just focus on one thing at a time, right? Don't overdo it. Don't think I need to build my email list to 500,000 people. I need to build my Facebook page to 1 million people, my Instagram page to 1 million people. That's not super beneficial. Focus on the things that you know are going to do well for your business, right? So one really great example is we work with a client that is primarily selling products to seniors. So their energy shouldn't be put towards growing Instagram, right? Because that's not the demographic. That's not their niche, right? They're going to be more towards Facebook would be a good one for them, where there is an older generation that's on Facebook. Obviously, focusing more a little bit on email tactics would be better for them as well. But then we also have a brand on the other side that is more the millennials, right? The younger generation and those that are even in high school. So for brands that are focused on that, that's when you should invest in Instagram, even TikTok, or different opportunities like that make sense for your demographic. So when it comes to building an audience off of Amazon, I don't think everyone should focus on every single opportunity out there, because the reality is for every brand, there is going to be a specific channel that does better for them than the others. And it's just finding that brand, and that decision should be data-based. So you should be looking at your demographic saying, okay, where should we start? Where would our demographic respond the best? I guess that would be my best advice on how to get started and where to maybe focus your energy first.
Excellent. Yep, really good advice. Can't fight any of that stuff. And I think you put your finger on something very important, which is maybe something I'm guilty of adding to the podcast, putting people under a sort of mental pressure to do 10,000 different things just because you could. And actually, as you said, you just got to pick one thing or two things maybe that are relevant to your business and your demographic and go for that. And also, I think being led by where your demographic is rather than the latest shiny object is much wiser. Email is never going to seem very sexy in 2020 and beyond, I guess, but that could still be the absolutely right tool. I'd argue often is, but a very interesting point. So what are some practical points that happen then? So you'd mentioned a couple of particular platforms, Instagram, Facebook, email. What are the ones that you've found, whilst acknowledging different businesses need different things, what are the ones that you found most fruitful for your clients?
Honestly, even though email isn't on the uptake, I would still say it's really beneficial. It's a really great way to get out there. And I mean, it's easier to build than a lot of people think. So I believe in building an email list. I think that's super important. I also believe in Facebook because you can pair that with growing a ManyChat list, which everyone says ManyChat is going to be the new email list eventually is the idea. So I always think Facebook and email are the most important. And they're just the easiest way to communicate if you think about it, right? Instagram is very challenging to communicate as quickly because you have the shorter videos, you don't have the long text or anything there. So I think email and Facebook consistently do the best. So what our team usually does as far as building those lists, we rely on programs like ClickFunnels is a really good one to rely on. Helium 10 actually just came out with basically a way for Amazon sellers to use their platform to build out different landing pages. So landing pages to us have been a really great way to build out an email list and even a Facebook list where you can ask them to come join your Facebook group or not group page.
That's good. Although Facebook groups are also a thing. I mean, Facebook page, Facebook groups. I think Facebook groups are used by a lot of Amazon sellers as members of the sort of selling community, if you can call these things communities, when you're a member of 100 Facebook groups or more. But what I think they've underused it for is as a medium for connecting to their customers, which is kind of crazy because they're always on it. I've seen some really great successes in a couple of things where I can't reveal much about it because it's from clients, but some well-run Facebook groups could be a really strong thing. And again, it comes down to community, but I can also reflect on the fact that Facebook and email have been really successful for just a couple of people in my masterminds where they're working more outside of Amazon and helping people build Shopify-based stores. And Facebook to some kind of lead capture and then email need nurture has really been killing it for them. So I agree with that. It's interesting that your clients are feeling the same way. It seems to come down to the same platforms. I keep hearing Facebook email a lot, which is interesting. So how do you integrate things like ClickFunnels and Helium 10 then to create an email list? I mean, you've got ClickFunnels, obviously famous, the most famous export of Boise, Idaho, I guess, if I've got the address right. But how does that fit into the sort of marketing funnels that you work with your clients?
There's so many different ways you can tie them in. One tactic that's pretty much out there for everybody is marketing inserts are a really great way to get back to landing pages. Also just your external marketing. So if you have Facebook ads, running Facebook ads to those landing pages is a great idea. If you already have the email list, you can run just create an email sequence that pushes them back to the funnel. So it is important to almost use whatever assets you have to help build up those other assets, right? And you can get in front of them. So one of our bigger tactics as far as getting Amazon customers to join these opportunities, to join these external assets, is using Amazon customer lists and plugging them into Facebook advertising. So this is something that a lot of people are like, oh no, that list is gone. We have not, now again, this is June 12th, so we have not seen that list is gone. It is important, though, that when you go to download that list, which is in your fulfillment reports, that you do the CSV file, not the text file. The CSV file still has that customer information. Now, again, I would say that strategy could be considered gray area just because you are using Amazon strategies. So again, it's with a lot of strategies, right? With Amazon, it's got to weigh the risks, right? But one thing you can do is you can run Facebook ads and take them to a landing page where you can offer them some type of discount or some opportunity, and you can have them join the Facebook group or the page, or even join an email list is the idea. But again, with caution, using that list, keeping the risk factors in mind.
Absolutely. I mean, in the end, Amazon makes it very hard for us to build any form of our own lists or our own connections without some kind of gray area around terms of service. And that's because their terms of service conflict with our interests, right? Amazon wants their customers to be their customers, and we want them to be ours. So there's bound to be a conflict, and we just have to, as you say, manage it, assess the risks and rewards. But one thing that strikes me about what we've been talking about then is we're diversifying traffic channels or traffic strategies. So Facebook is obviously a hugely powerful traffic strategy, although making it profitable in the Amazon world is another question. Emails, obviously a kind of, I suppose, in traffic nurturing rather than traffic capture, but that's about traffic rather than sales channels. So would you recommend diversifying sales channels, or do you think everything needs to lead back to Amazon.com in the end?
Obviously, we're big supporters of Amazon. We primarily work on Amazon. So we believe in Amazon. But one thing I think that COVID did show is you should not put all your eggs in one basket. You should not be solely relying on Amazon, because the reality is, guys, Amazon had 30-minute ship days at the start of, you know, the pandemic. So it is important that you have other options, whether that is another sales channel or if that is having a different fulfillment center. So quite honestly, I do think it's important that every brand is building their own Shopify site, trying to get that honed in. In addition to that, I would say we've worked with brands that have leveraged their success on Amazon and gotten into brick and mortar stores like Sam's Club and gotten involved with Kroger and different opportunities there. So it is really important to diversify your channels and make sure you're not solely relying on Amazon, because another thing you brought up is Amazon can just shut you down, right? I mean, we've all been there where Amazon just got bored one day and got mad about a review or got mad about something and just shut you down. That it's not an uncommon thing. It's something that I bet you every single seller has gone through some capacity. So it is really important to diversify your channels and try out different opportunities.
Excellent. Yes, that makes a lot of sense to me as well. So tell me about Walmart, because I know that you've had some clients that have been working on that. I know Jet.com was all the rage 2-3 years ago, and then they bought it and quietly shut it down. But then Walmart's becoming a thing again, or people are talking about it in the e-commerce world. Do you think it's kind of going to be a serious sales channel for Amazon sellers in comparison?
I'm not 100% sold on Walmart. I do think it's up and coming. I do think it's growing. I do think because Amazon had the high ship times, I do think that Walmart did probably grow a little bit from that. So I do think it will be something as an alternative sales channel. I don't think it's going to overtake Amazon to any capacity, but I do think it will be it's worth being on, as long as you're doing it correctly. So just so everyone knows, Walmart.com, but you guys think Amazon's behind. Walmart is behind Amazon in terms of seller support, in terms of what you can do with a listing and what you could do for reviews. It is behind Amazon. It's crazy. So that is one thing to consider, is there's definitely some stress and some pain when it comes to selling on Walmart.com. And like, in addition to that, I actually was a part of a webinar maybe a week ago or so, and they were mentioning that 60% of Walmart sales are in the grocery category. So it's understanding that Walmart is first and foremost a brick and mortar store, right? And a lot of people still do rely on it for groceries and things like that. So if you're in the grocery category, you might do a little bit better on Walmart.com than someone that maybe is in the fitness category, is the idea. So yes, I do think Walmart.com is exploring. Do I think it's a fit for every single brand? Not necessarily. It is something definitely to be watching. But again, you mentioned they just silently shut down Jet, I think, last week. So it is super interesting, worth exploring and making sure you're doing it right. So what I mean by that actually is Walmart is not like Amazon, where they have a bunch of fulfillment centers. Walmart actually relies on a company called Deliver. So that's, you spell, it's regular spelled Deliver and then just add an extra R at the end. And they're actually a really great company to work with. We're working with them quite a bit right now. And they provide that 2-day shipping for Walmart, which is similar obviously to Amazon Prime. So again, Walmart is behind in that sense as well with fulfillment and how they're relying on Deliver.
And I guess that Amazon, seeing them snapping at their heels and has worked very, very hard to create, I mean, it doesn't look like it right now because of the COVID situation, but they worked very hard in America to create 1-day delivery for Prime, right? And I know that given that that's a huge place, that's quite an achievement. I mean, in the UK, to have one day delivery isn't such a big deal because it's not that big. But that's obviously a differentiation point, which Amazon will be working hard to hang on to. But it's interesting what you say. I mean, again, it's horses for courses. If you're in a product that could be classified as kind of groceries, maybe supplements again, then it might be a great place to be, I suppose. But if it's going to be that focus on groceries and is a little bit of a clunky experience, it could be that as a diversification thing, you're still relying on the marketplace. And as you said, they just shut one down. That's a reminder that can happen. And it's not a given that Amazon will have a third-party marketplace, I guess, in 10 years' time, right? They didn't 10 years ago. It started, what was it, 2009? Something like that. So I guess that's a reminder that if you're going to diversify to reduce risk, then maybe in the end, you've got to get your own store going, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? How do you advise your clients around diversification as a way to reduce risk specifically?
We do talk about just the pain points with Amazon and how that can happen, right? So that is a discussion we have with clients, and a lot of clients are more focused on building up their Shopify site and things like that. So what I would say is your growth on Amazon will grow those extra channels, whether that's your Shopify site or things like that. So as far as what we would suggest is looking at different opportunities, seeing what's the best fit for you, because again, like walmart.com might not be the best fit for everybody, but maybe it's a big hit for somebody else. And we have some brands that are bigger on their Shopify site than on Amazon. So it's just finding what works for you. As far as Shopify specifically, one thing I would say is when you are starting your own store on Shopify, it's really important to have external assets to help back you up on that. So if you have that email list and you have that Facebook following, Shopify will come easier to you than somebody that doesn't have those things. One thing I actually will say though is for people that are starting out, and this is actually something that Ryan Moran talks about a lot, is Amazon is the cheapest way usually for a brand to get started. And the reason why is shoppers are already there. So building a Shopify site, right, is going to take a lot more time and energy. You're going to have to put more money into it most likely than you would if you were starting off on Amazon, because Amazon already has those shoppers.
Yes, and it's a good reminder, having gone on about, as usual, the downsides of Amazon. I mean, it just does so much for us, doesn't it? It's a crazily amazing thing that they offer. The quality of the traffic, the fact that they're there to shop, not to browse like they do in Google, and the conversion rates that you can get as somebody who nobody's ever heard of are always astonishing to me. So that's a good reminder. Perhaps it's appropriate that we should wrap this up by saying, don't forget, humble Amazon, even though it has its risks and the downside, and we get fed up with seller support and all the rest of it. First of all, the seller support on Walmart sounds like it's even worse. And also, we can't just overnight replicate that stream of qualified traffic and that trust. So it's a good reminder that it's going to take work and effort. It doesn't mean it's not worth it, but any things that I should have asked you that I haven't asked you that you would like to talk about?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we covered a lot throughout these episodes, which was really great. It was a really great opportunity to chat with you guys.
Thank you. Well, in that case, it just remains for me to say, first of all, if people want to work with you or explore working with you, just remind us how they can do that.
So they can head to turnkeyproductmanagement.com/resource and they can reach out to us through there. And again, we offer full service management where we'll do everything for you. And we also offer coaching where we will meet you where you're at in your Amazon business and address those specific pain points.
And by the way, that's quite unusually flexible because most people do one or the other. I mean, I haven't really offered much of an agency offering till now because I know that having had a dabble with it in the past, it's a lot of work. So people who are organized about it and use the right tools like Asana and Basecamp in the right way are definitely got to be part of that picture. So very reassuring to hear that you're that organized. And some very interesting thoughts and a few things to take away from that for me that I'm going to go and ponder on how I can work better in the Amazon space and also how I can work with clients better as well. But for now, I just want to say a big thank you. You've given us a lot of time and energy and lots of interesting things to go away and work on. So big thank you.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.